can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I see why Brother Doug gets confused, because I was off, and then it was on, and then I was off. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that He thought you were worth saving? Amen. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve tonight. Amen. What a gracious God we serve. He's the only one in the universe that has that complete package. Amen. You know, we can look around and see a lot of examples of those that have power, those that have graciousness, those that have this or that, but He's the complete package. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful to call Him Father tonight. You know, what's amazing about Him is that He can manifest all of those attributes in you and I. Amen. And so He's just revealing Himself to us in a greater and greater way. And like I said, I'm just thankful to call Him Father tonight. I'm thankful to be associated with the name of Christ. Amen. It's a name that we can be proud of. Amen. A name that we can be proud to carry. And you know, though the world would stomp on it and would minimize it and, you know, call it names and, you know, it's becoming, used to be in this nation, everyone was called a Christian, but now it's becoming, you know, a dirty word. But I'm proud to be a Christian tonight. Amen. I'm proud of my papa. I'm proud of where I came from. Amen. Amen. And that's where we find our identity and that's where we find our peace. Amen. Well, thank you, musicians. You can be seated for a moment. Just want to greet you in the name of the Lord, and heard the little text there from Brother Doug, and you know, what do you say? You just that's the way it is, man. That's traveling in third world countries, and you add on top of that, people go through that just to go on a vacation, you know, go to see some of those places, but you add on top of that the strain of the ministry. And, you know, sure, he's going through these long flights and going through, you know, not eating and not sleeping and all of that. But add on top of that, there's a great strain. There's a great spiritual battle that goes on in the ministry. Because Satan knows that if he can get that ministry, if he can attack that ministry, if that's a place where he can, if he can hinder that, he knows that he's hindering God's work. He's hindering God's plan. But he'll never get one up on our God. Amen. And, you know, God has a way of taking weak vessels that just in and of themselves would have no way of making it and standing up. But God has a way of taking a vessel like that and just infusing it with power. Amen. And just anointing him to do God's work. So we just pray that for our pastor. Not only do we pray it, we believe it. Amen. We believe that he's led of the Lord to go there and that God has a purpose. And so I'm so glad tonight that we can have a part in that ministry. Amen. We can pray and we can do our part. You know, we're already doing our part through our tithes and offerings to send him there. But let's pray and get behind what God is doing there as well. Amen. Will you do that with me? Amen. Pray for the man too. Pray for the man and pray for the ministry. Amen. Amen. But we're glad to be here on a midweek service tonight, and just good to be in the house of God. Amen. I'm glad that it's almost September, because that means cool weather is on the way. Man, hallelujah. That's something to shout about. Amen. 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 Just thankful for the many prayer requests and praise reports that went forth, and just believing that God is moving and working in His body. Amen. Amen. Well, just have a little subject on my heart here tonight. Hope you just bear with me for a little while as we look into the scripture. And maybe just draw a little closer to Him tonight. I believe that's what we've come for. We come to church, and particularly on a Wednesday night, you know, we've gone through the trials of the day, and you know, I certainly have as well. We've done work and whatever we had to do today, but we have a little time here tonight just set aside for Him, and you know, it's our reasonable service tonight, just to take this little bit of time and to put our focus into it and say, Lord, I'm giving you this time. I'm sacrificing this time. I'm going to do my best, Lord, to not think about anything else, man. But I just want to see you, Lord. I want to experience you in a greater way. I want to receive from your word, Lord. Brother, sister, I believe if we come with that attitude, God will meet us. Amen. He will come and do something for you tonight. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. I'm looking for that tonight. I want Him to speak to me. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible with you tonight, I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read just the first two verses here of Hebrews chapter 12. So nice that we have the words of the songs back on the screen. Amen. I have a terrible memory, so I like having the words up there, you know. I get just enough memory of the song to get it wrong. I can just get enough of it, you know. But I get the verses mixed up, and you know, I know all the words. I just can't quite put them all together sometimes. So I'm thankful for those words up on the screen. Amen. Amen. If we could stand for the reading of the word, let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I believe they're going to put that up. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. You ever think about what that cloud of witnesses must look like? Oh, my. Amen. I don't believe our imagination could really figure it out, could really, you know, do it justice. But brother, sister, I don't know what it looks like, but I know it's there. Amen. Amen. I know that God's word is true, and there is a cloud of witnesses. Sure. He says, because we are compassed with that cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Weight and sin, amen? Right. Which doth so easily beset us. It just comes with the territory. It comes with you walking daily. Comes with you rubbing shoulders with the world. Amen? Amen. Right. It doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Looking unto Jesus. Amen. You want to run with patience? Has your running your race gotten, have you gotten weary running that race? The way that we run is looking unto Him. Looking unto Jesus, he says. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. My, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Just once again for the opportunity to come to this house, Father. We thank you, Lord, for each one, Lord, that have sacrificed and they've made an effort, Lord, to come out tonight. We appreciate each one of our brothers and sisters, Lord. We appreciate their love for you, Lord. But Lord, our honored guest is you tonight. You're the one that we came to meet with. You're the one that we've come to see and to hear, to touch and to feel, to be ministered to and to wash your feet, Lord. And Lord, we just invite you. We've already prayed prayers, Lord. We've sung the worship, the songs, Lord, to you. But now, Lord, we want to worship you in truth. We want your spirit to take your word, Lord. Rightly divide it to us. Lord, and to plant it in our hearts. That we might bear much fruit in our lives. For we love you, Lord. We love you so much that we want to be like you. We want to manifest you, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that you would be so real in our midst. Lord, that you would be so evident, Lord, so present, so tangible to us. Oh God, that we would just be lifted up into heavenly places. Lord, that we would be lifted up above our daily trials, Lord. And Father, when we go out to face the world and face the enemy that's attacking us on every front, that we would leave, Lord God, encouraged, Lord, with faith, Lord, knowing that we have the authority that you have given us. And that we can face down every enemy and defeat every foe of the gospel. We love you tonight, Lord. We want to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise and the preeminence here in this service, Lord. Take complete control is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read you an excerpt from the Church Age book. This is from the Ephesian Church Age. It says, now you will notice Jesus is walking alone in the midst of his churches. He's speaking of the picture that we see in Revelation chapter 1. Jesus walking alone in the midst of his churches. There is no one else with him. Neither indeed can there be. For he alone wrought her salvation. Oh, hallelujah. He's the only one that salvation flows through. No other man can give it to you. No church, no denomination. Amen? Nothing. Him alone. He says, he alone wrought her salvation. And having purchased her with his own blood, he owns her. Amen. I'm a property of the King tonight. I've got his seal on my heart. I'm his property. Amen. That's why when we rebuke Satan, our enemy, amen, we remind him that we are the property of the living God. That he does not own us. Amen, that God Almighty has purchased us with his own blood. Oh, hallelujah. And he is her Lord and Master. She gives him all the glory. And that glory he will not share with another. There's no Pope with him. There's no Archbishop with him. Mary, the mother of his earthly body, is not with him. Oh, amen. He does not speak and turn to a father, for he is the Father. He does not turn to give orders to a Holy Spirit, for he is God, eternal Spirit. It is his life that is flowing and pulsating in the church, giving her life. Oh, hallelujah. Without him, there would be no life. Salvation is of the Lord. There was no one with him when he trod the fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. Amen? Brother, sister, he did that alone. He did that alone for you and I. He says it was not another, but him who hung on the cross and gave his blood. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega of our salvation. We are espoused to him and not another. We don't belong to the church. We belong to him. His word is law. Creeds, dogmas, bylaws, and constitutions have no effect on us. Yes, it is Jesus alone who walks in the midst of the churches. It is God in her, willing and doing of his good pleasure. Never forget that. Amen. Amen. Never forget that. Amen. When the enemy comes to you in the dark of night, never forget that. You have only one relationship to God, and God has only one relationship to you, and that is Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My subject tonight would be the author and finisher. Now, he is the author and finisher of our faith. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He said, look unto this Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. The author, the beginning, the finisher, the ending. And in between, he is the sustainer. Amen? He's the leader. He's the one making it happen. He's the one that started it. He's the one that makes it happen all the way through. And he's the one that ends it. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter, the A and the Z. There's nothing outside of that. There's nothing before that. There's nothing after the beginning and the ending. Amen? He starts, he finishes. Now this word author. Now the Greek word that's there for author in Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about, it means a chief leader. Or a prince. Amen? One that takes the lead in anything and thus leads by example. A predecessor or an author. All right? Now we're going to address all of these things here tonight. Let's start with an author. I think we all know what an author is. We usually think of an author as someone who writes a book or something like that, right? A play, writes some piece of work. They are the creator. They're the originator of it. Before them, no one had an idea about whatever the concept of that book was. They're the ones that the concept and the original idea flowed from. That's an author. Amen? The source of origin for something. The place where something starts. The place or person that starts it all in motion. That's an author. Amen? If you think about an author or a book, an author of a book, everything in that book flows from their imagination. There's, you know, some famous examples. Many people are familiar with the Harry Potter series of books. They're very popular. I've never read one. I don't recommend you do. Amen? But very popular, very, very well known, right? And it's, I believe the author's name was J.K. Rowling. Rowling or Rowling, right? An English lady. And every one of those books flowed out of her imagination. She was the author. She created this person called Harry Potter. This guy doesn't exist. Right? She created him. She created the whole world. Star Wars is another one. Because, man, it's everywhere, right? George Lucas created Star Wars. Before him, there was no Star Wars. Right now, you got people dressing up like all these crazy guys. They go to these, they got these conventions. They got, I don't know, books and movies, and it's multi-millions and millions of dollars. He's created this whole thing, right? This whole universe. You got people arguing about whether that's really part of this. Is that really true? And is that really true in this make-believe place? Right? It was all a figment of George Lucas's imagination. He created it out of his mind. By the way, that's why we must be careful about what we read and watch, right? Because actually what you're doing is feeding off of someone else's imagination. But, you know, J.K. Rowling, nobody even knew the name of Harry Potter until she came up with it. She invented it. She's the author. If someone has a question about the Harry Potter universe, a question about Harry Potter, right? Let's imagine tonight that we have a question. We're wondering about Harry Potter. Something about, you know, does he like spaghetti? I don't know, right? A question. We could argue about whether Harry Potter likes spaghetti or not. But there's only one person that can answer that. The author. Right? And whatever the author says, that's what he likes. Right? I don't know. She made it up. You go to her and say, you know, Ms. Rowling, does Harry Potter like spaghetti? She might think about it for a moment. Goes, yes, he does. Well, who's going to challenge that? She's the author. Amen? That's called authority. Amen? That's where that word comes from. Author, authority. Oh my, we're going to get into something good here. This is where authority comes from, or the word authentic. What does it mean if something's authentic? It means it's original. It's the real deal. Right? It's something that you can take back to a source of truth, an authority, and prove that, yep, that is what it says it is. Oh my. Amen. Now, if he's the author, oh, what's where? What is in his mind? Right? We've talked about these natural authors. They've got these crazy ideas, right? They come up with these crazy worlds. But we have an author too. Amen. And he has some thoughts in the back part of his mind. Amen. And he's set into motion a creation. Amen. And he's the author. You got a question about it? You go to the author. He's the final authority on his creation. Now, it's not for the creation to claim itself as the authority. Amen. In fact, the actors, you know, if they're acting out a Harry Potter series, well, I'm the actor. I'm playing Harry Potter. So I should get to decide what he's like, right? No. The author decides. The playwright decides how the actor acts. They wrote the script. Amen. You ever looked at, those of you that have a King James Bible, you ever looked in the front? Mine says authorized King James Version. And there's an authorized version, 1611, and different things like that. But they use that word, authorized. Right. Why? Well, in this case, that version, that translation, was authorized by King James. Right? He put his stamp and he said, I, as king, I'm making a decree that this is the authorized version of God's word. Well, that's nice, King James, right? But that's not where our confidence is. Amen. You see, what I love so much about our Bible, brother, sister, is God has authorized it. The original author himself. He has come and he has proven it. Brother, sister, he proved it in our day through Malachi 4. Amen. That's part of what that prophet's ministry was. Amen. It was the author coming to authorize that Bible. Amen. Wow. By proving it, making it come to pass. Proving the promises in that word. Revealing it to us. Opening it up. Tearing those seals. Amen. It was God authorizing that word. Hallelujah. That's the same way he does in your life, brother, sister. Amen. That's how you know it's true, when he brings it to pass. That's what Brother Branham said, right? He said, God reveals his word by what? Bringing it to pass. Hallelujah. So he's the one that put you in that race. Right? He says that, he said, we lay aside every weight. We run with patience the race that has been set before us. Well, who put you in the race? I don't remember filling out an entry card. Amen? But he put me in the race. He set the course. He's the author of my race. Oh, and brother, sister, that's the joy that we have, knowing that if he's the author, knowing that if he entered you in the race, he is the finisher of your race too. Amen. Not only did he predestinate your course every day along the way, but he predestinated a finish line for you. Hallelujah. And he's giving you the power to run that race. Amen. So, you know, talk to him. He's the one that put you in the race. Hallelujah. So this verse, it says, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith. Amen? Now, that can have a couple of meanings. One of those is all of that which we put our faith in. In other words, this plan of redemption, right? We would say that is our faith. This Christian faith, as we would call it. All the entire plan of salvation that God has authored, that's his plan. That can be described as our faith, right? The author and finisher of our faith collectively. Think about it. He was the one that came to Abraham. The Bible said he was the father of the faith. Well, he might have been the father, but he had an author. Amen? Because God came to the Father. It wasn't the other way around. God came to him, called him out of his father's house, made him the promises, set everything in motion. Is that right? He chose Israel. He created man. He created the world. He made all of this based on his own thoughts. So thankful for that. Amen. This is out of the Church Age book. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham says, also read Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, notice that according to Jesus himself, who wrote the revelation, he is set down with the Father. The Spirit in Paul, which spirit is the Spirit of Christ? For that is the Spirit of prophecy, whereby the word comes, says he is set down at the right hand of God. But when John looked, he only saw one upon the throne. Amen. That first statement we read, he's the only one in the midst of the churches. Amen. He says he looked, he only saw one on the throne. It was not until Revelation 5, 6 through 8 that we see the Lamb taking the book from him that sat on the throne, as indicated in Revelation 4, 2, through 2, 2 and 3, and 9 and 10. What is it? It's the mystery of one God. He, Jesus, came out from God, became manifested in the flesh, died and rose again, and returned to the bosom of the Father. As John said, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen? We just believe that. That's the correct teaching on the Godhead, right? Amen. He said, it was now time for God, Messiah, to come back to claim his bride, and then present himself, or make himself known to Israel. So thus we see God again stepping forth, to assume a physical relationship to man as the Son of David, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Bridegroom of the Gentile Bride. It is not two gods, but simply one God manifesting his mighty triune offices and title. Amen. One God. One author. One mind. Amen. Hallelujah. And then recognizing your day and its message. He says, remember in my vision, I said, if Paul's people go in, so will mine, because I've done exactly like he did, and I'm staying right with it. And he said, then millions throw their hands and said, we are resting on that. Amen. We know this vision. Amen. He says, what? recognize the day that we're living and the time we're living, the sign of the time that we're living in. It may be later than we think. One of these days, let him that's outside stay outside still. And he that's inside must forever be inside still, and the door will close. But if there's some here this morning that haven't never yet walked in it, oh, in Jesus' name, my dear people, don't look at this ignorant servant standing here. Illiterate, unlearned, uneducated, don't look at that. But look at the word that's being proven. Look at the great Holy Spirit who vindicates it to be the truth. We're at the evening time. It's later than you think. He vindicated it. He authorized it. He said, this is my word. This is my servant. Amen. Now look, in that vision, he said, millions throwed up their hands. They may not all be bride, but millions were part of that work. Amen. Brother, sister, this is a big work that God is doing. Amen. He's got mighty thoughts. He's not limited like we are. You know, someone who's writing a story or something, they're limited by their experience and they're limited by their humanity and their thinking. And look at the crazy stuff they can come up with, the vast, amazing universes, right? But what can Almighty God, what can His mind envision? Amen? And we try and limit that work. But it's a big work. Spans thousands of years. It's a huge plan. He's created it and He's going to see it through. He's the author and the finisher. We should never feel like Elijah did. Remember Elijah? Lord, I'm the only one. Right? Woe is me, I'm the only one left. Everybody else is an idol. You know, they bent the knee to Baal, and that's it, I'm the only one. We should never feel that way. Amen? He felt alone, and God, what did God do? He reminded him of the magnitude of the work. So look, Elijah, this is bigger than you, right? You're my prophet on the scene right now, but you're not the only one. Amen? I've got many others. I've got a work out there. You do what you're called to do, but I'm doing a work. Amen? There's a worldwide bride. You know, we get so focused so many times on, this is my little world, and this is my little church, and this. Even here in the United States, we're centered on our own nation. Amen? And we forget, God's got people all across the world. He has bride out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And that bride is not just for now, but it's spanned seven church ages. Thousands of years. Our God thinks big thoughts. And He's doing a big work. And He thinks little thoughts too. Did you know that? What we call little thoughts, right? He's able to come down into the minutiae of your life. Amen. And He cares about every little part of your life. And in all of that, He's got the whole world in His thinking. You see, feeling alone is a trick of the devil. That's a tactic that your enemy uses. He tries to isolate you. He tries to get sheep isolated from the shepherd or from the flock. Right. He tries to get them alone where they're easy prey. Amen. Amen? Amen? He wants you to feel alone. He wants you to wallow in your human frailty and think, man, I'm the only one. Or he gets people to think, we're the only church. Right. We're it. Right. Right? Right? I'm here to tell you we don't have, in this church, a monopoly on the truth. Right. We don't. But we do have the truth. Amen. But we're not the only ones. But we do have it. I'm so thankful for that. And brother, sister, that truth didn't come from us. Like Paul said, did the word of God come from you, out from you, or unto you only? Amen. It was given to us by the author. Oh, I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen. So a true child of God, they want everyone to be part of this. Yes. Man, I want everybody to come be part of this story. Right, right. Yep. Amen? We're not trying to draw it smaller and smaller and smaller. So many in this age have done that, where it's, well, if you're not, you know, and we're going to try and exclude you and you, right? That's not the true child of God. We don't let down the bars, but we want everybody to come in. Let them decide. Let them self-select. We want them to come and be part of the story that the author has written. Amen. There's plenty of room. Amen. Just thinking about that song. There's room at the fountain. Amen. Why did they sing those old songs like that? Because the devil was working on people the same way. Amen. There's room at the cross for you. Amen. Though millions have come, there's still room for one more tonight. Amen. And after that one, there'll still be room for one more. And one more, and one more, and one more. Whosoever will, as many as will. To him that athirst, come freely to drink of the waters of life. There's room. And the bride should be the one saying, yeah, scoot on in. There's plenty of room. We want you to come. We're not trying to put up barriers. We're not trying to keep people out. We want them to come. God has a big work. And brother, sister, when God starts a work, he finishes a work. Amen. He finishes it. You know, I've said this before, but I like to start new things. You know, I can start new projects, and man, you start a new project, and it's all exciting, and man, we're going to do this cool thing, and then the work gets hard, and it's like, hey, look at that new project. Amen? Or we start, and we have no idea. This happens to me, too. I have no idea how I'm going to finish it. Well, I'm starting the thing. I hope I can figure this out. You know, how are you going to get down here with all this problem? I don't know. We'll worry about that when we get there. God doesn't run his business that way. Amen? I'm so thankful. When he starts something, he sees the end and the beginning. Just right together. Amen? He's already seen you as a finished work. Oh my. I'm so thankful for that tonight. That means that anything that he initiates in your life, It's got a proven path already. It can't fail. God cannot fail. When he starts something in your life, he will finish it. I'm so thankful that Brother Doug shared with all of us some of the things that God did when he started this work. Amen? Because brother, sister, you and I, we need to know that it was God doing it. Amen. It wasn't Brother Doug one day deciding, you know what, I'm going to be a pastor and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That's not how it happens. Amen. This is God's work. And when you look at the supernatural origins of it, he had to start with a pastor. That's where he started. But this is God's work. We've got to have confidence in that. We have to be convinced of that. We have to understand that if we hinder that, we're actually working against God. Because God started it. Amen? He that started it, he's the author of it. He'll finish it. He's the sustainer of it. He's the one working in it. He's the one moving it forward. He's the author, the finisher, the omega, the alpha, the beginning, the ending, and everything in between. The finisher of the work. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows exactly how it's going to turn out. Hallelujah. So our faith also refers to our own personal faith. Amen. Author and finisher of your faith. You can put in there that he's the author and finisher of my faith. We didn't call ourselves. Right? If you called yourself, you ain't called. God called you. Amen? Jesus said, no one can come except the Father draws him first. That's the only way that they come. He's called, he's justified, sanctified, glorified, filled with the Spirit. That's him doing that work. When he calls, when he starts, when he originates the work in you. Amen. So, brother, sister, we've been born of the Spirit by the original. The original author. Amen. That means you're, you know, if you've got the author who birthed you into this, called you into it, that means you are, ready for this? The authorized version. Amen. You've been authorized. Amen. I got the author in me. I've been authorized. Hallelujah. I'm the authorized version of a Christian. Amen. Amen. We should be able to say, if you want to know what a Christian looks like, authorized version. Take a look. We got some authorized versions here tonight. It's got the stamp of the author on them. Amen. He came down with the seal of the Holy Ghost, put his stamp on it and said, yep, this version is authorized. It's authentic. Amen. It's original. That specimen can trace its origin all the way back. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You ever think about merchandise and different clothing and stuff, and they try and sell like knockoffs, right? You know, the Chinese are great for that, right? Some American company makes something up, and then, you know, a week later there's a Chinese knockoff of it. It's not the authentic version. Right? For it to be the authentic version of the merchandise, right? Like a Rolex. I don't know how many different types of Rolexes you can buy that's not really a Rolex. It might even have the name on it. Right? It might look exactly like a Rolex, have the name on it and everything, but I guarantee you those internals, what's inside? Amen. It ain't a Rolex. It's not authentic. Why? Because Rolex, that watch, was invented by someone. Right? And that person, that engineer or whatever that works for the Rolex company, they put their name on it. They designed it. Maybe they got a patent for it. And they're the author. And they're the only ones that can say, that's authentic. They're the only ones that can produce an actual Rolex. Everything else, no matter how much it looks like it, it don't matter. If it didn't come from them, it isn't a Rolex. Amen. Brother, sister, churches can impersonate every bit of Christianity in terms of, you know, psychology and Bible theology and all these things. Right in our own message. We've got make believers, right? They can walk with the word. They can spout out every quote. Talk about Brother Branham being the prophet. Read you, you know, off from the seals. Quote you upside one side and down the other. But it doesn't matter if they didn't come from the author. If the life that's there isn't from the author, it's not an authentic version. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Brown talked about a real dollar bill and a fake dollar bill. But he said, if there's a fake, what? There had to be a real. Amen. Amen. Because you don't have a fake off of something that doesn't exist, right? Because it's a copy. That's why, you know, he talked about Satan. He said, he can't come up with an original thought. All he does is pervert and try and copy what God is doing. Why? He's not an author. Right, he's not the author. Our God is the creator. He's the author. Satan's just a cheap duplicator. A cheap knockoff. Right, he tries to turn our churches and church members into cheap knockoffs of Christians. But they don't have the quality of a true born-again son or daughter of the living God who's been authenticated by the author. Amen. We got a seal that proves it. Amen. You know, sometimes when you get a collectible or something, they'll send you a little certificate, right? This is sealed and authentic, whatever, silver plate that Abraham Lincoln ate off of, or whatever, right? Somebody authenticates the thing. And you got to have confidence in that authority that they know what they're talking about. Amen. We got a seal tonight? Amen. Brother Bram said, you're like a thoroughbred. You're not like a mule. Right? A mule doesn't know who his mammy is, his daddy. He doesn't have a pedigree. But a thoroughbred horse, he said, he knows his pedigree. Right? He's got a piece of paper. He's got a registration that shows his bloodline. Shows where he came from. He's pedigreed. He's got the real thing. Amen? Oh, brother, sister. Tonight, if we've got that seal, we can trace our pedigree all the way back. Amen. We can trace it back to the day of Pentecost. Amen. When they stood up out of the gutter where they were rolling in the side of the street, so filled with the Holy Spirit, so anointed with the power of God. Amen. That men that previously were denying Christ stood up and preached the sermon in power. And souls entered into the kingdom because of the conviction and the power that the word went forth. Amen. Those men, we can trace our pedigree back to that. We are like that. That was authentic believers. That's the way we are tonight. We can trace our pedigree back to those believers that stood at the gate called Beautiful. When a man walked up, or when they walked up to a man, rather, amen, who was begging and needed something. Amen. And they said, look, we don't have silver or gold, but what we have, we give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that man that was lame jumped and ran and walked. Why? There was the power of God authorizing their ministry. It was proving that it was authentic. It was proving that the scripture concerning them in Joel had come true. Amen. That's why Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Why? Because them that believe, he was talking about the real deal, right? He was talking about those that could trace their authority back. Brother, sister, tonight you have been given authority. You can trace your lineage back to Christ tonight. And Christ has defeated every demon in hell. Amen. He has placed them under your feet tonight. We have authority over them. Amen. Authority. He has placed his authority in us. Oh, glory. Amen. We're entitled to the same works, brother, sister. Anything that you see a believer doing in that Bible that you're holding tonight, you're entitled to that same thing. Amen. You're entitled to the same character of Christ. Those believers that in the Colosseum that went to their deaths, they exhibited the character of Christ. They didn't fight back. They just stood for the gospel. Brother, sister, we are entitled to that same character tonight. We are entitled to the same holiness that the believers in the Bible exhibited. Amen? We are entitled to everything, not by our own works, but because the author, amen, has made us worthy. Because we're part of his great drama, his great novel. Amen. Let me read you little statement here. This is Revelation chapter 5, the message. He says, "No, now don't never vary from that word. Remember, I charge you before God, stay with that word. Don't you never vary from it. And if those things rise up amongst the people and things like that, there's a genuine every time you got a false. There's a bogus dollar that shows there was a good dollar it was made off of. When you hear some hypocrite speaking in tongues, you can't say he's got the Holy Ghost, but remember, he's impersonating some genuine article that does have the gift of speaking in tongues. When you see those things that's false, remember they were made off of a real one." Listen to this. God is the originator of all good things. But Satan impersonates those gifts. Right? Satan's got the cheap knockoff. He's got the Chinese junk. Amen? We've got the original. But you know, brother, sister, sometimes all that's being flashed in front of you is the Chinese junk. Right? I don't know if I've ever seen a real Rolex. I've seen a lot of knockoffs, though. Amen? And I know that there's a real one. Because of all that impersonation that I've seen. I know there's a real one somewhere. Maybe somebody has one on tonight. I don't know. You can come show it to me after church. I wouldn't really know how to prove it or not. Amen? Amen. So we're entitled to the same things. The same miracles, the same holiness. Now, as part of being an author, that means he's our leader. Amen? He didn't just write the script and say, "Yeah, have fun, boys. Good luck. See you on the other side." That word there that the Bible uses for author, part of its meaning is leader or prince. A prince is a leader. Right? A prince is one who's the head of, the chief. Is that right? Now, I was thinking about this, and he's the leader, so we could say it like this. He's the leader of your faith. Is that fair? The author, the leader? He's the leader of your faith. Well, what does that mean, the leader of your faith? Now, growing up, we had lots of different kind of animals. We got to raise, you know, cows and pigs and sheep and horses and all kinds of chickens, whatever. Many of those animals, we broke them to a halter. So you put a halter on them and you could hook a rope to them and you could lead them where they wanted to go. Or where you wanted to go. Yeah. Where they wanted to go sometimes. When you were breaking them, it was where they wanted to go. And then once they got trained and they were what we would call halter broke, then they would follow you. They could get to the place if they were well trained enough that you didn't even have to have a rope or a halter. They could just follow you, right? Well, so leading and following go hand in hand. Amen. Amen? If you're going to have someone leading, that means somebody's following. Right. Now, when we would lead those animals, I was in front of the animal. That was the distinction. You know, if the animal was in front of me and I was chasing it, I was not leading. Right? We were not going where I wanted to go. We were going to wherever that crazy cow was going. And usually it was running as fast as it could. Right? I was not in the leadership position. But if I was in front, we were going where I wanted to go. And I was leading. Now, part of that whole process is the animal has to trust you. Right? Part of that was gaining their trust. that you weren't going to lead them into something dangerous. Otherwise, they would just, no way, I'm not doing it. Right? But they would get to where they would trust you. You could lead them all kinds of places. You could lead them through things that would, we would call it, they would spook them, right? Something that would alarm them. But with enough training, and training would build trust to where they would follow you into places that, just given to their natural tendencies, they would never go. Right? Amen. But because they're following you, and they're trusting you, they would go there. Now, they wouldn't go there without me. Amen? But if I was there leading, they would go. Oh, brother, sister, what a beautiful picture. You see, he didn't tell us, just go there. He's leading us. He's leading us through dark valleys. He's leading us to green pastures. By leading us, that means he's walking with us, but he's walking in front of it. Now, that also means he's going through it first. If I'm leading, whatever is happening, I'm going through it first. And they're following behind me. Amen. He's the captain that goes before us. Brother Branham likened it to that fire department. Remember that? I think it was the Jeffersonville Fire Department. He said, yeah, they got out there, and the captain was standing back saying, yeah, boys, just squirt a little water up here, a little water over there, you know, and the fire was still going. And then he said that Louisville department showed up, and they were well-trained. And he said they were organized, they were up there, and that captain was right up on the top of the ladder. Amen? And he had an axe in his hand. He said he threw it through the window and said, come on, boys, let's go. And he was the first one in. And he said they had that fire out in a matter of minutes. Why? Because the leader went before them. Amen, brother, sister. You see, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginner and the leader of our faith. Amen? Let me read you this little statement here. This is putting on the whole armor of God. Won't keep you too much longer here. He says, glory, things will change. We need no great intellectual giants. We just follow the chief. The chief will come right down and took the word of God and broke right through it and said, here you are. What's he talking about? He broke through the sin barrier. He broke through the barrier of death, hell, and the grave. He broke through it and said, here you are. You know, I'm told that a jet plane, after it goes so fast, it gets to the sound barrier. And just it has to quiver and shake until it gets through that sound barrier. And after it gets through there, then she just runs free. He says, well, that's the way it is, brother. You just die out to everything till you get through the sin barrier. That's the unbelief. Get through that and everything will run fine. When you take God at his word, you can shake every devil away from you and run free. Everything. Put on the full armor. But he says the chief is leading. Why? He broke that barrier first. He proved that it could be done. Amen? You know, we've heard men that were trying for so long to run the mile in a certain amount of time. I think they was like they were trying to run the mile in a minute, and then somebody did it, and then they were going faster and faster, and there was a great barrier there, right, where they just couldn't quite get to they couldn't break a time. They went years and years, and finally a man, and I forget what it was, but he broke that barrier of how long it took to run a mile. Right, and as soon as he did that, then many others, boom, 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 great succession right after that. Everybody was doing it. But it took one man first to break through that barrier. Well, that was our Lord, amen? He broke through the sin barrier. He said, the chief is leading us home. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come again and be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Amen. He's not an absentee leader. He's with you, even in you, to the end of the world. He says, the works that I do, shall you do also. A little while and the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. He says, chief, leading on. Chief, leading on. Where he leads me, I will follow. Amen? I'll follow him because I trust him. I'll follow him because he's going through it first. I know where he walks, I can go. Peter would have never had the idea to walk on water. Amen? Where did he get the idea? Jesus did it first. Jesus walked and said, and Peter said, Lord, bid me come. I want to be like you. And what did Jesus say? No, that's not for you. No, he said, come on. Amen? Come follow me. If you've got the faith, do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Breaking through the sin barrier. Breaking through every demon in hell. Taking captivity captive. Say, Lord, I want to do that. Come on. Follow me. Amen. Defeating the demons of hell. He said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Follow me. How do we do it? Keeping our eyes on him. Amen. I'm just following him, doing what he does. Amen. Wasn't my idea. He's the author. Amen. He's the one that came up with the idea. I'm just following him. He's the prince. He's the captain. He's going before me. It's his work, not mine. Anybody coming against me is coming against his work. Brother, sister, you've got to get that kind of attitude. Amen. Some of you have been beat down by the devil this week. You need to get that kind of attitude right here tonight. Amen. Any demon that's coming against me is coming against Almighty God. Because he's the author of my work. Amen. This is the work that he's doing. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just leave you with a couple of scriptures. Psalm 23:2. We should know this scripture, right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? He's out in front. He's going through it. He's taking me there. I'm just walking in his foot. I'm just following him. Amen. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Amen. The sheep hear the voice of the author. It has a certain sound. They know his call. Amen. And he calleth his own sheep by name. Amen. He doesn't just say, sheep. He didn't just say, hey, Tucson believers. Right? He calleth them by name. Hallelujah. He comes to each one and calls you by name. He says, I've got a book written. Here's your part in it. I've got a big plan. Worldwide plan. Spans thousands of years. Spans millions of people. Here's your part in it. Calling his own sheep by name. And leadeth them out. Calls them by name and leads them out. Juan Calvo. Leads them out. Amen? Did you do that as a shepherd, Brother Juan? Did you call your sheep by name? He calls them by name. When he putteth forth his own sheep, listen to this, he goeth before them. He's the leader. He gets out in front. He goeth before them and, well, the sheep just go this way and they go that way. And they say, well, I have a better idea. I think we should go over here. It's not what it says. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They're not going to follow another. They know the voice of the author. He's the one that started this. He's the one that wrote my story. My story was wrote before I ever got here. Amen? Before I was even aware of any of this. My story started writing with my parents and my grandparents as the different genes were mixed together that came together to form me. My story started before that even. Amen? When the Lamb was slain in God's mind before the foundation of the world. My story started. Why? Because the Lamb was slain for a purpose. It was slain for my sins. He was writing my story. And brother, sister, he's going to finish it. He was writing your story too. Amen? He was writing a book. He was coming up with his great plan. He's our general. He's bringing it to pass. But he's not like the other generals that say, all right, you guys go take that hill and you guys go fight over there in that trench and you guys go storm that beach. It's not our general. Our general leads us. He doesn't lead from behind. He leads from the front. Amen. You have a God that's fighting for you. You have a God that's fighting for you. Amen. Amen. Just as we stand to our feet, I want you to think about that for a moment. The Bible says, if He is for us, who can be against us? You've got a God fighting for you tonight. Musicians, if you'd come. You're made of amazing stuff. Amen. You've been created for a purpose. You've been born of the author. You've got a promise tonight. He's going to see you through. I don't care what you've been through. I care, but it doesn't matter what you've been through. As far as what He can accomplish. Amen? We might have been through the toughest trial of our lives. We might have been through the biggest heartaches, the biggest pain. We might have loved ones. We might have promises that just don't look like there's any way could happen. Maybe I should just remove the might from that statement. We do have, amen? We face battles. We face demons. We face doubt. We face fear. We face unbelief. We're facing it tonight. But brother, sister, we're authentic. Amen. That's what the prophet was talking about when he said, you just present Satan that token. It's a token of your authenticity. It's a token that the author has said, this is my child. Amen? And that's what we're resting in tonight. We're resting in the grace, the mercy, that God has extended us through the blood of Christ and the life that He has given to us through that grace and mercy. The life that was in that blood that has been come back on the believer is the authentic proof. You want to know what a Christian in 2018 looks like? You should be able to look at authentic Christians here tonight. Amen? We don't always feel like that. Most of the time we don't. I'll just venture to say. Amen? Most of the time we're focused on our own failures. We're focused on our own fears. We're focused on our own unbelief. But that's not what God said about you. That's not the picture that God has of you. That's not the image that God presents of you. Amen. And that's not who you are. Who you are is what he says about you. We are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses, brother, sister. So let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside everything that doesn't agree with that word. Let us lay aside every conflicting story. Every confusing writing out there. Every other book that isn't lined up with the true book. Everybody that claims to know what's in the mind of the author. Amen? You realize that that's what Satan does, right? He tries to present to you a twisted gospel. It's what he did in the Garden of Eden. Right? And so every time when he comes against you, he's coming against you with partial truth. Amen? But it's twisted truth. He's coming against you with a false narrative. He's coming against you with claiming to have the authority of the author, but just changing it a little bit. It's not the authorized version of the gospel. It's not the one that God is vindicating. It's not where the Holy Spirit is moving. Amen? We have that gospel tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you so much, Lord. Father, I thank you tonight for your word, Lord. I thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit, Lord. That has come in this hour, Lord, to prove your word and to seal your children into the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that you have come personally. You didn't send a third person or a second person. You didn't send a second person to come die for us. You didn't send a third person to come dwell with us. But you personally came, Lord. Our general, our leader, our author and finisher. And Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can just follow right behind you, Lord. We can walk right with you. Knowing, Lord, that no matter what we go through, though you lead us, Lord, if you're leading us through a great trial right now, Lord, we know that you've gone before and that you've made a way for us to go through that trial. You led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, Lord. You brought them up to it. You made a way and you led them through it. You led Moses. You've led every child of God. And you've been right there with them, Lord. Leading them every step of the way, Lord. And when we stumble and we fall and we feel like we can't get up, Lord, you're there to encourage us, Lord. Lord, you're there to speak sweet words to us, Lord. Lord, you're there to just soothe our wounds. To dust us off and say, come on, my child. Just follow me. I know the way. Just follow me. Just stick close to me. I'll lead you through. I won't lead you astray. Lord, we trust you. Oh, tonight, Lord, we trust you. You're the author, Lord, of our faith. You're the sustainer of our faith. You're the sustainer of our life, Lord. And Lord, you're the finisher and the perfecter, Lord. You're going to take us through to the finish line. Lord, though this life may take many twists and turns, oh God, we trust you every step of the way, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray that you just anoint your children right now, Lord. Lord, just as we bring this service to a close, Father, I pray that your Spirit would just move, Lord, on our hearts, Father. Lord, come and soothe the broken hearts here tonight, Lord. Come and bind up the wounds, Lord. Come encourage us, Father. Those that have fallen by the way, Lord, come and pick them up again here tonight. Come and give them strength, Lord, for the journey. Lord, come and give them healing for their body, Lord. Come and remind them of your promises, Lord. Though it linger, wait for it, for that word shall surely come to pass. Abraham waited so many years for his promise. Yet, Lord, you led him right to it, Lord. It seemed like he was wandering aimlessly, but God, you were leading him every step of the way. And he just had to stay right with you, Lord. And you led him right to that promise. Lord, we're looking for that land, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we're looking for a country tonight, Lord. But we know that we'll only get there by following
Amen.
You every step of the way. Oh, hallelujah. I pray that you just encourage each one tonight, Father. Lord, just as we worship you tonight, I pray that you just water that word, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, he's the author and finisher of our faith tonight. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our trust tonight. He's worthy of us falling in line and following him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just praise him tonight. Let's just give him honor and glory. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, this was all his idea. This is all his plan. He's got it all in control tonight. There's nothing outside of his control tonight. He's got it all in his hands. Hallelujah. Oh, worship him tonight, brother, sister. Give glory in the house of God tonight. Where else can he be worshipped as God but in his children tonight? Who else can know him the way we know him? Who else can worship him the way we can? Oh, let's honor him tonight. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll go, God. Call me. It's a mighty calling tonight. Let's respond to that call. Lead me, O God, tonight. Hallelujah. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lead me, Lord. I will go. Hallelujah.